got Albert Kelly. Albert Kelly in the maroon and white. We'll wait and see. Good on you, Zorb. We'll look forward to chatting throughout the year.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks,
bye.
Pete. There he is, Peter Peters, with his thoughts on rugby league. You can contact us in the next hour or two to get a response to Zorba's thoughts. 1353-53, the open line number. Time now for the news. After the news, our legend of the game, Chris Louis Mortimer.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Former Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce doesn't know if the baby his partner is carrying is his, and he doesn't care. Mr Joyce says he and Vicky Campion, his former media advisor, were not together during the time when she's estimated to have conceived. He says it's a grey area. However, he told Fairfax Media he won't be getting a paternity test. The baby scandal involving the former Deputy Prime Minister has caused him his cabinet position and Nationals leadership. The Tasmanian Greens have blasted the big spending gaming industry after scraping through a bruising state election campaign, which could leave them with just one seat. Greens leader Cassie O'Connor says the gaming industry bought the Liberals the state election with the millions of dollars spent to fight against policies to end poker machines in the state.
Millions of dollars pouring in from the gambling industry, millions and millions of dollars in dirty money. And it is money that's come out of the pockets of some of our poorest people. It is money that comes from human hardship.
Labor and the Greens had a policy to get rid of pokies from pubs and clubs, while the Liberals would keep them until at least 2043. A 19-year-old man has been charged with a number of offences, including deprivation of liberty, after a woman was allegedly kidnapped at knife point on a Gold Coast road. It's alleged the 20-year-old woman jumped from the passenger side of a white van and flagged down a black van on Pappas Way last night. However, as she got into the black van, the white van ran the vehicle a number of times. It's alleged the 19-year-old then produced a knife and forced the woman out of the black van and into his vehicle before driving off. Shortly before midnight, a member of the public spotted the van in Carrara and called police. Also in news, a man has been charged with murder after another man was shot dead in Melbourne's West, and a man has died after suffering from a suspected heart attack while steering a boat on Sydney Harbour. Overseas, the Ugandan government has launched a large-scale program to verify the identities of all refugees in the country. Using biometric data, the UN Refugee Agency, the World Food Program and government officials will collect fingerprints and scan irises of more than 1 million refugees. Michael Balica reports from Kampala.
Uganda is using the UN Refugee Agency's biometric registration software. It has already been used to register some 4.4 million refugees in 48 countries worldwide. The new verification comes amid concerns that Uganda is inflating refugee numbers in order to access support. The UN Refugee Agency says the new biometric identification will be used to provide and improve assistance to each individual. Refugees verified and registered in the new system will receive new ration cards. The exercise will be carried out in all refugee settlements and among urban refugees in the capital, Kampala. This operation will be completed in September this year. Michael Baleke reporting from Kampala.
And US President Donald Trump has threatened the European Union with taxes on cars if the bloc increases tariffs on US companies. This is Air News. Australia will be looking to go one up in the four-test series against South Africa on the fourth day of the opening test, as Air Sport's Graham Davis reports.
When bad light stopped play, Australia was 9 for 209 and had extended its lead to 402. Once again, it proved hard to build an innings, with Bancroft top-scoring with 53 before being stumped off Maharaj, who took three wickets. Smith made 38 before he fell LBW to Elgar's part-time off-spinners, while Morkel took the last three wickets, having Sean Marsh caught a slip for 33 and then removing Stark 7 and Lyon 2 before the dark skies intervened. Graham Davis in Durban for Air Sports.
In the AFL yesterday, the Western Bulldogs beat Hawthorn 15-10-100 to 11-12-78. In the other game, the Sydney Swans defeated the Brisbane Lions 14-11-95 to 5-10-40. A late try to replacement halfback in New South Wales Waratahs debutant Mitch Short has earned his side a 24-all Super Rugby draw with the Sharks in Durban. New Zealand shot putter Tom Walsh has retained his World Indoor Athletics crown with a championship record throw of 22 metres, 31 centimetres in Birmingham. Australia's Damien Birkenhead endured a difficult day, finishing in last place. And in the A-League, there were wins for the Newcastle Jets and the Brisbane Roar. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Grigio. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Service your car with Midas before March 31 and you'll score a massive 6,000 bonus velocity frequent flyer points. Call Midas or book online today. In Kingsgrove, that crash on the M5 East approaching the tunnel entrance is causing major delays for eastbound traffic. Avoid it if you can. In Alexandria, Wyndham Street is closed until 10 a.m. for roadworks between McAvoy and O'Riordan Streets. And in Petersham, Audley Street and Fisher Street are closed for the annual community festival. Want big deals at small prices? Head into IKEA Tempe, Rhodes or Marsden Park today for limited time offers and unmissable savings. See the offers at ikea.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
It's as much a part of the Sydney Autumn Carnival as the Derby and the Doncaster. The annual Racing Fraternity Mass brings all sections of the racing industry together. Everyone is welcome to attend the Mass in the Royal Randwick Ballroom, Randwick Racecourse at 11 a.m. Sunday, March 11.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our $50,000 projected Big Six pool on the Country Championships qualifier meeting at Wagga today. That's right, $50,000. Don't miss a minute of the action with Sky Racing live on the Tab app. You can even watch while you scroll our great odds and bet. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Win a $10,000 pup by number one sire, Barcia Bale. Simply visit thegreyhoundrecorder.com.au on your mobile to enter for free. The Greyhound Recorder, the industry bible, helping you find a winner since 1939.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy with a 30% chance of a shower from the afternoon, most likely later tonight. Wind southerly 25 to 35 kilometres an hour. Maximum of 26 degrees, Raymond. What about at Annandale right now and at Armidale a little bit later on?
Annandale currently 22 degrees, heading for a top of 26 degrees. Armidale, where they're racing this afternoon. Nice day, Armidale. Top temperature of 24 today.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the VT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Been a big program thus far, Raymond.
Has.
We've enjoyed it. We've also got a big finish coming up. Chris Mortimer is our legend of the game.
Did you play against Chris, or was he just retired?
No,
when you...
he finished before I played, thankfully. Very, very tough man. We'll get a sports update with Tanya as well. Dean Bulldog Richie's back. The season 2018 as well. We'll have a chat with Trent Linscale from tab.com.au. And, of course, your calls. We're looking for the champions, the world records, because of the great world record of Winks yesterday.
Record equaling.
Record equaling. Well, a record for Australia.
Correct,
But record equaling across the globe. And you would think it's just a matter of time before she actually holds that record herself. So we are doing that as our unique world records that stick in your mind for whatever reason. We've had some good nominations thus far. We've got a Winx cap, actually, a three-time Cox Plate winner, 2015, 16 and 17 WS Cox Plate winner. Will it be 2018?
Big chance. And we'll throw in a prize pack as well for the winner.
We'll do some stuff with Sony Music, courtesy of Sony Music as well. Now, on a bit more somber note, I want to make mention of a couple of things that happened during the course of the week. Dave Stanley, our great mate here at the Big Sports Breakfast, his grandfather Merv passed away, and he and Merv were very, very close. Merv was one of the reasons that Dave became so interested in racing and so forth. And I know he's up heading north for the funeral next week. So on behalf of everyone involved in the program, we pass on our condolences to you. And the other one, Ray, this is really tragic. Nick Dewar was a young harness racing driver from Young. in New South Wales, and Simon Wolford contacted me. The funeral is today in Young. He was 18 years of age. He was killed in a car crash coming back from driving at Shepparton, driving back to Young. And you would have seen the black armbands that were worn by the drivers in the Miracle Mile last week in respect to Nick. It's just tragic. An 18-year-old that's
very, very sad.
Been killed far too young. So it's very sad indeed. So, again, on behalf of everyone here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, we pass on our condolences to the family.
And I was just going to ask you, you did say you interviewed Steve Folkes. Did you play against him or have much to do with him in a professional capacity?
No, I never played against Steve. He had finished before I started playing again, thankfully. but certainly knew him as a real straight shooter from a professional point of view. As I mentioned, I interviewed him a couple of months ago at a fundraiser. Again, gave up his time, no problem. Still looking very fit, still a lover of the game of rugby league, still very knowledgeable about the game of rugby league. Was
still involved with the club, wasn't he?
Coach of the Bulldogs for a decade.
Yep.
Coach of the Bulldogs for a decade.
Won a premiership.
Won a premiership. And I think there was 250-odd games as a player and 270 games as a coach. Like, that's a long association with the one club.
Games of football.
So, just incredible. So, it's been a tough week all round. So, again, to Dave Stanley and Merv, to Nick Dewar and the family, and, of course, the family of Stephen Folkes, we pass on our condolences.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, well, our legend of the game today is a fellow who had some very famous brothers that all played together in great sides at the Bulldogs back in the late 70s and early 80s, but a very tough and respected player in his own right. Played for New South Wales, played for Australia, played in 6 grand finals.
That's amazing. Most guys would die to get one grand final,
just
wouldn't they?
Incredible. Currently lives out at Wagga Wagga, and he's been good enough to join us on the line. Is Chris Mortimer. G'day, Chris.
How are you, boys?
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you giving up your time this morning. I guess in the Mortimer household, mate, you just had to play rugby league. Did you have any flirtations with any other sports?
You know what? We grew up in Wagga, as you all know, and we played a bit of everything. You know, a bit of soccer, a bit of Aussie rules, and hockey, and that. It's kind of an opportunity to get out of a bit of school.
What is it about Wagga, Chris? We've had so many sporting legends on from Wagga, from Peter Stirling, your brother Steve, Mark Taylor, etc. What is it about Wagga in that fertile sporting environment down there?
Well, I don't know. There has been a lot of great players come out of this area, but they. I think perhaps that reason is because we get to taste every sport, you know, and you have a go at golf and cricket and everything. And you know, you got to make the numbers up and play with your mates, and that's what we did. So, my dad coming from a rugby league background up in Gilgandra, with all his brothers and uncles and whatever, he saw the opportunity to start a junior rugby league club down here, and that was it. Made up of the four Mortimers and a few of the locals, and that's how we started our career.
Yeah, right. And that was Turvey Park, is that right?
Oh, no, the Magpies it was.
The Magpies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Coringle. It started with Coringle, an area that we used to live in. And over the other side of the hill there at Wagga. And as I said, Dad saw the need or the opportunity to start a club there. And we, with the help of a lot of the parents, he created the Coringle Rugby League Club. Which was later adopted by the Wagga Magpies, where Arthur Summons and a few of the great legends played. We became Coringle Magpies as they are today.
Yeah, right. You were very close to your brothers, and I mean this literally. If the birth dates that are right on some of the websites I've seen, Chris, you and Peter, you're very much Irish twins. There's not much... you didn't muck about the Mortimers.
Well, I have to ask Mum about that one. Unfortunately, Dad's gone, and God, we miss him. But That's life, mate. No, we're all pretty close, and that helped us when we teamed up in the backyard up there in Warrawong Street at halftime of the ABC games on the Saturday. And we play and emulate our heroes and have some real good tussles.
Yeah, remember those ABC games? Yeah. Watched on Channel 5A back in the old days when they...
Yeah, black and white.
That's it, yeah. I guess with Steve and Peter, they sort of forged the path for you, Chris, to the Bulldogs. You weren't going anywhere else?
Well, no, I saw that Stephen first went down, you know. I thought, oh, God, look, he's signing autographs and he's, he's got the attention. He really shot the top right from the start because of the ability that he had. And I thought, God, I want this. I would love to be able to run out for Canterbury and only ever focus on Canterbury. Although, believe it or not, we're all originally Tiger supporters growing up as kids because mum come from... over there, Leichhardt. The Bulldogs, mate, and we're blue and white through and through.
Yeah. Do you remember what your 11th game at the top level was? It was a grand final in 1979. I guess you have to pinch yourself as a young bloke and you got your 11th game and you're playing in a grand final, Chris.
Exactly. It was what an education, you know, the education in having to sit down, shut up and listen and row the boat. Unfortunately, we got beaten in that game and it taught us a lot. I know it taught me a lot and my brothers and really hurt. And showed us what was needed to go that one step further the following year when we beat the Roosters in 1980. But it's funny, boys, opposite me was a bloke by the name of Rob Finch.
Yeah,
and Finchie's cut a long story short. Finchie's daughter married my son Ian, and they live down here in Warwick.
Wow, there you go. That was in the 79 grand final.
There you go.
I remember that game. I was actually there, Chris. It was 17-3 at half time. St George were well and truly on top, but in the second half, the Bulldogs were all over the Dragons. I guess the siren beat you in the end. But there was a period there in rugby league when, I know it's a cliche, but you almost had to lose one to win one. Did that apply to the Bulldogs, the entertainers of 1980?
Yeah, most definitely, because a lot of us were young, other than, I suppose, Stanley, Gary and George to an extent, but Gary Hughes and George Papanis. But we did what we learned out of that 79 game. We had a Ted Gossip was our coach, and I remember we came in at halftime of that 79 game against St George, and he said, "What the bloody hell are you doing?" You know, I said at the start of the game, go out and enjoy yourself. I think we were just starstruck. Perhaps read a bit of the papers and we become a hell of a lot more mature after that, mate. And that certainly helped us in the future and helped us with a few other grand finals, in 1984, 85 and 86.
Chris, we remember the Steve Guerin try in 80. What's your memories of that grand final? We have lost him.
I was going to ask him about the entertainers tag when we hope for getting back on. Because was it Rabbit Warrens who was the man who labelled the Bulldogs entertainers in 1980?
That's a good question. I don't know who it was.
And I wonder how tough it was for him to live up to that tag. Because everyone wanted to watch the Bulldogs play because they were so good. They're such a great attacking side. Whether it just came naturally for them.
Well, from what I understand, a lot of those guys, and we just got the 1980 side here in front of us, a lot of those guys were either halfback or 5'8 in
great
their junior
players,
football.
Great ball players.
So as a result of that, no matter the position that they were playing, they were still able to be, use the football, as you say. So we're just trying to re-establish that line with Chris.
Great ball players. And it was interesting because I'm sure it was Rabbits. I'm going to Google this as I'm speaking, but the entertainers tag just stuck with them through in that whole season. I think we've got Chris back on the line. Chris, you there?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what
happened. That's all right, I'll just go back to ask. I think Jimmy was asking about the Steve Guerin try, your memories of it.
I
do remember that. It was fantastic. I know we were, I think we were reasonably safe. It might have been 12-2 or 12-4 or something. Greg Bentwell, who lives down here in Wagga now, he's moved back home with Wendy's wife, Wendy, and great to have him here. He's put the kick up, and as soon as Bubba scored that try, all I can remember is Ted Gossip jumping out of his seat,
clapping
his hands and showing emotion that he's never, ever shown before.
Yeah, right.
You know what? We've got this.
Yeah. Chris, I was just saying to Jimmy before when we just had you offline for a short period, that tag, the Entertainers, that became so synonymous with that 1980s team, one, were you aware of it? Did two, did it put added pressure on the team? Or three, did that attacking football just come so naturally to that Bulldogs team?
Well, I reckon we were just gifted with so many natural ball players. Mm. You know, the Hughes boys, they all had great ball-handling skills. Stevie Geeran and, of course, Greg Brentle and us playing in the backyard, we'd always try and chip over, as Stephen used to do, and whatever Tommy Bishop used to do, Stephen followed. And, and you know, we would go for weeks on end without dropping the ball at training. And we'd that was, you know, first and foremost at training. And I suppose it just turned into having fun. And, you know, we never had to live up to a tag or anything, but just enjoyed that style of football. And, you know, we
and
always...
Did Ted Glossop give you a license to play that style of footy, Chris?
Yes, he did. If he thought we were getting off track, he would pull us aside and say, look, you know, do this, this, this. But he encouraged it because he could see the ability in a lot of the individuals.
Mm. Did you lead the charge, the Bulldogs, in changing the game? So very shortly after that, they became the Dogs of War, and we had grand finals with scores of 6-4, 7-6 and 4-2. You won two of those and lost the final one there. Was that a Warren Ryan-led thing? Was it because of the team you had? How did that happen, Chris?
Yeah, I think it was. We had a bit of change of a few players came into the side when Warren came to coach us in 84, and he definitely had a different structure. He saw a way of winning games that was completely different to Ted's, and so it was kind of based around defence and protecting the line and being very conservative. And but he had a halfback that wouldn't take that. So obviously they were going to, you know, they were going to have a few blues and, about things. Like Stephen saw an opportunity, he didn't give a bugger. Mm. He'd take off and do it. Mm. And to an extent, that's what won us games in the past. But I could see Warren's side of things as well, and we were very, very defence orientated, and that kind of suited me to an extent as well. Mm. You know. Yep, our attacking ability was a little bit stifled, but we knew exactly where we had to be, you know, after two or three tackles to give us the best opportunity to attack. And so it became a little bit more structured. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not complaining. I've got a couple of grand final medals on the mantelpiece because of Warren Ryan and the boys around me, so I don't like to have a go at anyone.
Mm. And that structure was it. And the manner in which you played the game specifically, Chris, as we look at it now, it's almost perfectly suited to State of Origin. And the success you had there, 9 games for New South Wales, 6 wins against the star-studded Queensland side. Do you think that style of play you were doing at Canterbury helped you at the Origin arena?
I think most definitely. I enjoyed the defensive side of rugby league and knew where I had to be, knew how to cut their options down, and at the same time, I suppose it was handy to know also how to attack. But Origin is about that. You can't slip up for 1 second, and letting your opposition number get on top of you just wasn't an option. So we had some good tussles with the big fella Mal and Gene and Bill.
What was that like, Chris? Can you put it into words when you're running out for an Origin and you're up against a couple of giant-sized legends of the game, in not just in size, in Meninga and Miles, and you've got to put your body on the line each and every time.
Oh, most definitely, and you do. When you run out that, I could tell you some stories about Origin, but when you run out that tunnel, Lang Park, I remember that first time. I thought, holy Jesus, the crowd and the booze and the venom and the hate that comes out for you, it works for you. It just thinks, you know what, bugger you. You know, let's get into this. And I know Blocker Roach and Wally Wynn and all the boys had the same feeling. You know, we used to beat them back in those days.
Yeah, exactly. I guess in that environment, if you don't embrace it and use it almost as a positive for your own sake, you shouldn't be out on that football field, because it must have been such a hostile playing arena for New South Wales.
It was. You could get away with a little bit more than what you used to, but I tell you what a great feeling.
Yeah.
Doing a lap of honour around Lang Park, thanking all those Queenslanders for coming.
It's a long memory, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. It is anyway. Just memories at this point. Hey, why Penrith in 88?
Oh, you know what? I'll be honest. Bullfrog, I walked into Bullfrog's office and I said, mate, I got three offers there, one from the Roosters and North Sydney and Penrith, I think it was. And I said, look, you come close to this and I'm here. He looked over the table and said, I suggest you take the Penrith offer. Oh, I nearly started crying. So anyway, I sat down. I thought, you know what? It's probably time I did get out by myself and not alongside my brothers and did my own thing. You know what? And it was the best move I made. Perhaps Bullfrog knew that.
Yeah. Well, there were three great years at Penrith, weren't they, Chris? And there was the club was building then, and you got to the grand final in 1990. I guess you must have sensed a premiership was around the corner. Canberra beat you that year, but you didn't stay that extra year. Was any regrets at all for 91?
Oh, yeah, I ended up going to England. I'd had enough, and I just thought, you know, I've always wanted to go back over to England and play, and that which I did. But Gus called me midway through that English season, said, mate, do you want to come back? And I said, yeah, I'd like to, but mate, I've had enough. You know, in hindsight, I should have. But going to Penrith was so good. There was so many young pups there just looking at you. I went over there with Peter Kelly and you know, you had your Geyers, Cartwright, Spitzers, Brandy, although he'd already established himself, and Royce and Matty Goodwin, and just a good feel. No one was on themselves. Just a bunch of humble blokes with an old wiry bugger, Ronnie Willie, as our coach, who was out of the old book, and we just clicked. It just knew what was needed to win, and they all just sat up like a young pup, you know, and they just listen and watch, and just got better and better and better. So you know, and eventually they're going to get a grand final success, and I was just unfortunate that I didn't do the lap of honour with them, but that's all right. I'm not complaining. I've had my fair share.
I'd say more than your fair share, Chris. But anyway, can you answer me this, Chris? Is it true you pulled a pin that was in your thumb out of your hand with a pair of pliers before a semi-final?
Oh God, I hate talking about this. You know, it was just through arrogance and pig-headedness. Ronnie Willie came to me one day. I broke my thumb in an Origin game. And he said, you know, I could see him starting to turn on me a bit, you know, because I'd been out and we're coming up against the Broncos in a semi, and he wanted me to play. And I thought, mate, doctor said I can't for another 2-3 weeks. And so he went cold on me, you know, and I thought, you know what, bugger you old bastard. I reckon I can do this. So, Mark Carroll was there. And silly thing, mate, just being stupid. I saw how they did it before, so I pulled the pin out, taped her up, and she was right, and broke it in the first tackle on Gene Miles.
Oh, jeez.
It's just pig-headedness, you know, and that's not being tough, that's just being stupid. Mm. It really is, you know, it's just being pig-headed. But Ronnie used to get me going, but what a wonderful man he was.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, we could talk forever, but one final question. You didn't pursue any careers in coaching or anything like that in the game. You're happy to go back to Wagga?
Oh, look, I came back here and I kind of felt a bit of an obligation to get involved. So our junior club was struggling a bit, and luckily through my connection, you know, we got the footy show down with Darryl and started to drum up a bit of interest in the junior Magpies. So I think they were down to about 34 players, Anyway, mate, now the club's going really well. We've got surrounded by the right people, the right parents and volunteers, and we battle away like most junior clubs do.
Yeah.
All totally supportive of the volunteers, but we'll get there, mate.
Terrific.
And just quickly, we mentioned it earlier, the passing of Steve Folks during the week. I think the overwhelming thought we have, and Chris, you obviously knew him very well, is just what a surprise it is. Such a fit there.
Yeah, it makes you look at the age you are now. And me, I was the same age as Folksy. I played for Australia, New South Wales, and Canterbury with him. And
good mate of mine, but he was a fitness fanatic. Mm. He was just, him and Billy Johnson would get on their bikes and ride out to Picton and back, you know, in the morning. I'm thinking, why the bloody hell would you do that? Yeah, it's just the way life goes, mate.
Yeah, very sad.
You just got to look at yourself and say, I might slip down the pub and have one schooner, and which we've always probably done. And whilst Spacey was out riding or getting fit, but it's unfortunate, mate. And I feel for his daughter Hayley, you know, and it is, and it shocked us all. So it's a bit of a wake up call for us, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Chris, it's been a privilege having a chat to you. We can feel the love for the game and the love for the Bulldogs coming right through the phone. So we do appreciate your time this morning, mate, and good luck with those Magpies this year.
Good on you, mate. Good to talk to you boys, too.
Thanks so much, Chris.
There he is, Chris Mortimer, our legend of the game. What a down-to-earth country fellow.
A decent man he is.
Yeah, very decent. Great man of rugby league. Time now for this.
Breakfast weekend with a sports update. Here's Tanya Thomas.
Australia's certainly in the box seat at stumps on day three of the first cricket test against South Africa in Durban. The Aussies are 9 for 213, holding an overall lead of 402. Meantime, New South Wales resumed this morning on day two of the Shield match at Junction Oval in Melbourne at 4 for 65, trailing Victoria's first innings by 134. Yesterday, Steve O'Keefe took 8 for 77. In one of their most noteworthy victories, Newcastle beat the tabletoppers, Sydney FC, last night in the A-League game in Newcastle 2-1, sending a psychological message to the Sky Blues ahead of the finals. Sydney coach Graham Arnold says it was the kick in the backside they needed. In the other match, Brisbane beat Adelaide 1-0. Today, the Wanderers host Perth. Winks has equaled the world record for the most Group 1 wins after blitzing the field in the Chipping Norton Stakes yesterday at Royal Randwick. The Mighty Mare now has 16 wins at the elite level, sharing that number with American horse John Henry. Still with racing and in greyhounds, Fanta Bale won the Super Stayers final at the Meadows last night, taking her career earnings to just over $1.3 million, while Hector Bale took out the Australian Cup final. Replacement halfback Mitch Short scored in the 76th minute to help the Waratahs salvage a 24-all draw with the Sharks in the Super Rugby match overnight in Durban. Early this morning, the Lions beat the Bulls 49-35, while yesterday the Crusaders 45 over the Stormers 28 and the Rebels 37, the Sunwolves 17. The NBL semi-finals are underway with four teams in a best-of-three series. In last night's first matches, Melbourne beat New Zealand 88-77 in Melbourne. United import Casper Ware scored an amazing 33 points, while Adelaide flogged Perth 109-74, scoring six triples in the final quarter. Sydney defeated Brisbane 95-40 in an AFL pre-season match just north of Brisbane late yesterday. Buddy Franklin contributed four goals, while the Swans at one stage kicked 11 in a row. The Supercars' first round of the season continues in Adelaide today, with qualifying for race two to start at 9:40 this morning. Shane van Gisbergen won yesterday's opening race after winning pole. Liverpool has jumped Man United into second spot on the EPL table after a 2-0 win over Newcastle overnight at Anfield. Elsewhere, Burnley 2, Everton 1, Leicester and Bournemouth 1 all, Southampton and Stoke 0 all, Swansea 4-1 over West Ham, Tottenham 2-0 over Huddersfield, and Watford 1 beat West Brom 0. Third round of the World Golf Championships in Mexico this morning, and 21-year-old Shubhankar Sharma leads by three shots. He's at 14 under par. Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia are in a group at minus 11, while Mark Leishman is the best of the Aussies in a tie for 12th at minus 7. And Kate Campbell and Kyle Chalmers will lead a 49-strong able body. And that includes 21 para-athletes in next month's Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. That's the Australian swim team. Qualifying wrapped up last night with only 12 swimmers making the A qualifying times, with the rest earning a B qualification. Now, that sounds a little disappointing that there were only, you know, a small amount of swimmers to make the A qualifying times. The Swimming Australia say that because it's a home games, they want to have a full team there. They want to compete in every event for the medals. But you have to look at those A qualifying times and whether they were just that little bit too high.
A lot of controversy about this. Mm. Ridiculous. Some of the qualifying times for the Australian swimmers were 3 seconds below times for other international countries who are getting their swimmers involved.
Boy.
That's the question everyone is asking.
Yeah,
how often do you see a winner turn around? They've just won their national title. He or she, they turn around, look at the board.
They haven't got
and their face goes from elation to, oh, no. Mm. It was just wrong. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm not sure what the basis of it all was.
Top eight, was it? Top eight in the world.
Yeah.
It's just a Commonwealth Games. Anyway, and they're not going to peak now. Are they going to peak for the Commonwealth Games, correct?
Well,
you're an athlete. You're trained towards
four weeks away. Yeah.
Just from a commercial point of view, tell me you've got an event going on there and there's no Aussie in it.
Oh, it's ridiculous. You know, they're going to pick them up. They turn out of the B qualifying time. See how it's going to work?
Definitely. Yeah. So there's 49 able athletes, 21 para athletes that were chosen. I think they were allowed 70 in total for the team, and they pretty much picked that many. Because, as I said, it's on home soil. They want an athlete in every event.
Mm. So they should.
Yeah.
And I watched, turned it on last night at lunch in the cricket.
Yeah.
Emily Seabomb won her 23rd national title. Thanks very much.
That's right. And teenager Ariane Titmus was the standout. She won the 200, the 400 and the 800 freestyle.
Yeah, she's a star.
Titles. Mm. Yeah, so look forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be great. April 4 is when it starts. Thank you, Tan. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more, including Dean Bulldog Richie.
Sky Sports Radio and Tabcorp would like to remind you donations can be made to the National Jockeys Trust at any time. The Trust assists jockeys and their families experiencing financial hardship. Next time you bat a winner, go to njt.org.au.
It's yearling sale time and Dynamic Syndications will be active again at all major sales. As primary syndicator for the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Box Stables, we invite you to join us as together we aim at massive prize money. Our family-operated business has been involved with 13 Group 1 wins, including the Cox Plate, Golden Slipper, Caulfield and Rosehill Guineas, Blue Diamond and many more. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com, follow us on social media or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
And here is the champion. Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic style.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe.
First time, every time,
is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Here's Kronk from inside the 40. It takes a run. Oh, what a kick from Cooper.
Oh, too good.
That's a 30 kid almost, Andrew.
Well, there's a momentum shift. 2 minutes into the game. It's been all the sharp.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, the band's back together. It's all back today. Now, this man, Dean Bulldog Rich, is on the line. Good morning, Dino.
I'm back. You're back. The show's back. Rugby league's back.
Exactly.
Hang on. If we are the band, what have we got Dean doing? What are you at?
Ringo, mate. I just sit in the background. I'll just hit the drums on beat. But I don't want to be stars like you, boy. Just pull Lennon and McCartney.
Oh, come on. Hey, Dino, how many years now have you been covering rugby league? And do you still get that same sort of sense of excitement going into round one?
Oh, round one's always great, Ray. There's always that anticipation. Every supporter thinks his club can make the top four or the top eight. And mate, people ask me all the time, guys, and I'm sure you get it as well, you know, who's going to be in the top eight? It's not so much these days who's going to be in it. It's just so difficult to who you're going to leave out.
Yeah. Right.
Pick two or three teams, I think, you know, probably won't be there. And even those couple of teams I'm not sure about.
Give us your bottom eight then. Or give us your
top eight.
Top eight.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy, I haven't got it in front of me right now, but look, you know, I think that the Tigers would probably miss out. You'd say they wouldn't be there. Newcastle would probably struggle. The Warriors.
Yeah.
But there's three, Jimmy. That leaves, you know, 13 into eight.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, every Sydney side, Jimmy, you go through them, I think are genuine finals contenders. Maybe the Tigers, and even them, I'm not going to write off, but, you know, Penrith will be close. Parra, the Bulldogs, South. Well,
who's the team to beat then, Dino?
I've kept the Roosters to win the comp, Ray, because of who they've bought, and I think a lot of people will join me there. But, you know, the Cowboys would be strong.
Mm.
I mean, the Storm are going to be there again.
Yeah.
The Sharks will be there again. I'm really interested to see what Dean Pay can do at Belmore. I think, you know, he's got a fair roster with Woods and Four in there. So I think every fan has genuine hopes that their side can get there, not just false hopes. I think it's genuine.
And the other thing about it is, Dean, too, I think what we've seen over the last few years is that squads make important pickups during the course of the season. And as a result of that, there's going to be a side here. So you could say that the potentially the premiers don't have their full squad yet.
Absolutely. Well, look at Moses Sui, Jimmy, last week.
Yes.
Out of the Bulldogs. A month before, he was a Tiger, and now looks like he's going to be training with Manly on Monday. I mean, it's just a revolving door when it comes to players these days. But, you know, you'd think that Sully wouldn't be picked up at all. Boom, another club. So, exactly. You know, it can happen in a week. You can pick up one or two players these days, as bizarre as it sounds.
Dino, I think of all the clubs this season, the one that I think can be the big improvers, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do, are the Knights. And I haven't got them in my top eight, but if they made the finals, it wouldn't necessarily surprise me. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you, right? I just can't squeeze them in. I'm thinking maybe 10, 11. Mm-hmm. But you looked at the side that they put out last week, well, 2 weeks ago. They were disappointing against Parramatta, but it was a good-looking team. Had a lot of balance there and had a bit of size. And Mitchell Pearce is the big X factor there, what he will bring them. I actually spoke to Mitchell during the week. He's in a really good headspace, Mitchell. He seems clear. He's got some clarity to his thinking. He's away from Sydney. He's away from the distractions of the eastern suburbs. He said, you know, Newcastle's like, you know, it's a big regional town. There's lots to do there, he said, but I'm just focused on the footy. There's not other things to worry about, family, friends. And I think Mitchell Pearce is in a very, very good headspace. And when that's the case, I know Mitchell plays his best football.
Great
and he's
Knights,
been named co-captain too with Jamie Bure, so that's significant from Nathan Brown as well. This is how we league. That's the slogan. Now, I know you're a marketing man from way back, Dino. What's your take on the league's promo in season 2018?
Well, Timmy, I don't want a bag. It's not even a ball being kicked off yet, but I don't know what it means.
So you don't like it?
Well, I don't know what it means. I don't know how to like it or dislike it. This is how we league. Am I missing something?
Probably.
Do you know what it means?
Yeah.
It's sort of modern terminology.
Yeah.
This is it. This is our game, you know.
Yeah, so this is how we do league. Yeah. This is how do you do league.
Well, why can't we just say that then? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier?
It's appealing to a younger audience.
Right, fair enough.
Well, hang on. Put your marketing hat on, Dean Bulldog Richie. What would you do for the season, for the promo?
For the promo?
Yeah, like, as in, you know, what have you got a song? Have you got an artist? What do you want, Tina Turner?
Oh, we just mentioned the Beatles. Why not? You could call me a dinosaur.
Half of them are dead, mate.
Maybe. Doesn't mean that their music's forgotten, Jimmy. You know, Let It Be. Hey, Jude, maybe you play on words there. Hey, Thursto.
Doesn't work for Jimmy. He's rolling his eyes here,
Dean. All right.
Now, Dean, the Ninth Immortal. Your thoughts on that? It's been announced during the week that they're going to name one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, actually, Jimmy, it's funny. There's an online petition I've been monitoring during the week. They've got now 1,100 signatures for Norm Proven. And you know what, Jimmy? I thought Lockyer and Mouth for the last couple of years, but no, I see a tribute to Norm Proven. For what he did for St George in that wonderful era, I think it's time we went back again. We look back at our history. We embrace it. We love it. Give it to a bloke from the past.
And he's been close, hasn't he, Dino? He's been close for a number of years, Norm Proven. And
how
do you know that?
Well, his name comes up in discussions every time an immortal debate comes up. Norm Proven's name is there, so he must be very, very close to selection.
You can't keep ignoring the past, because, look, Mal and Lockyer obviously would be the next two favourites. And then, of course, in 5, 6, 7 years, you'll probably have Thurston and Smith. But I think now's the time to embrace the past. Look, guys like Dave Brown and Dally Messenger have been mentioned. I mean, how far back do we go in rugby league for the Immortals brand? But I just think Norm Proven's the man for what he's done. He still sits, you know, on the trophy, for goodness sake, with Arthur Summons. And for all those wonderful victories that he led St George to in the 50s and 60s, the 11 in a row, I just think it's time we embrace the past, and I'd go Norm Proven.
Why do we have to wait 5, 6, 7 years for Jonathan Thurston?
Because it's got to be, you have to be retired 5 years.
Said who, mate? It's the NRL's new rule. It's the NRL's new. They own it now. They can do what they like.
Yeah, they can change it. You're right there. But look, I think they will probably keep that 5 year rule in place. But yeah, mate, some people might argue. Say, well, why are we waiting 5 years if they're good enough? Yeah, get them in now.
Your Dally M Player of the Year. You mentioned Mitchell Pearce. You think he's going to have a great season. Who's the guy you think is going to be the standout player in the competition?
Gee, it's hard to go past Cooper Cronk. It's really fascinating, Jimmy, to to think how he'll go this year, just without the Melbourne structure, without the Melbourne process around him. It was interesting the other day, I heard him say that it's frighteningly scary how similar Trent Robinson is to Craig Bellamy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So obviously they've got very similar systems. And look, there's probably a lot of clubs that have got similar systems in place. But look, I think if Cronk can settle, which he will, I think he'll be the Dally M Player of the Year. But you know, the question is, if the Roosters don't win the comp, in the 2 years Cronk is at the Roosters, has the signing been a success or a failure?
That's a very good question. Is anything less than a grand final appearance sufficient, or does it need to win the premiership? So are you prepared to disclose to the listeners that you are a Roosters fan? You've gone Roosters to win the comp and Cooper Cronk to be the Dally M Player of the Year.
I am actually, Jimmy. Look, I don't support any team now. I've just sort of grown through it, I guess. But as a kid, I loved the Roosters. I loved Horry Hastings and Royce Eales. They were my team. You just spoke to Chris Mortimer about the 1980 grand final. I remember I burst into tears as a young kid when they got beat. But these days it's not so passionate.
You don't cry as much. You don't cry.
No. Only when I drop a schooner now.
Thank you, Dean.
Well, hey, Matt Lodge, guys, I'd love to know your thoughts. Should this bloke be playing, given what we saw on
topic.
The news the other day, which was horrendous?
I said it earlier, and I stand by it. I think Matt Lodge, I welcome his return to the NRL as from a rehabilitation point of view, but at the same time, he must set up a plan, a scheme, whichever way you want to do garnish their wages, to pay back the debt that he owes to those people.
He's got to right his wrongs, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking financial debt or an emotional debt to these people?
Well, you can't do anything emotionally. You can do something financially, so that's what he has to do.
Yeah. Just finally, guys, before I go, the Manly salary cap, I chased around last week and was told it would definitely be this week, so expect some announcement there as to whether the Seagulls are fined for alleged indiscretions in their salary cap. And also the NRL, they're looking to explore what they call the magic weekend. It happens in England, where they have all 8 games at the one venue. It would be in Brisbane in a year or two's time. They're still looking at that, so that would be a big weekend for rugby league.
That'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. Fantastic. Good on you, Dino. We'll look forward to sparring during the course of the next 30 weeks.
Sparring.
You saw me spar a couple of weeks ago on the paper with Young Bob.
Yes.
You don't take me on.
Are you still recovering from that, mate?
No, he is.
You nearly cuddled him to death, didn't you?
Exactly. Actually, I saw him fight on Friday night, young Brock. Third round TKO of an Indonesian opponent, so he's sure to know the young bloke, so he's really a box on the rise. So
he is.
Keep an eye on Brock Jarvis.
Absolutely. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, man.
See you, Dino.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all his thoughts on the game of rugby.
You're going to love this, aren't you? You love football, sparring with Dino.
53. Well, when he says those ridiculous things, you can't just let him go through to the keeper, right?
The New South Wales Polytrack Provincial Championships are off and running every Saturday in March.
And Shazzy Lee at odds goes on to win the Hawkesbury Qualifier.
This week, Hawkesbury Stars with their $150,000 qualifier, plus a special concert from the Potbellies. Catch the Hawkesbury preview from 9:45 Saturday morning. After Hawkesbury, the qualifiers travel to Gosford, Kembla Grange and Newcastle. Sky Sports Radio, your home to the Provincial Championships.
Win a $10,000 pup by number one sire, Barcia Bale. Simply visit thegreyhoundrecorder.com.au on your mobile to enter for free. The Greyhound Recorder, the industry bible, helping you find a winner since 1939.
At USG Boral, our wall and ceiling products help you work smarter, so you can do more and build better. In fact, we're a global leader in ceiling suspension systems, which means you're setting yourself up for success. And our legacy dates back more than a century, so you can keep building yours for years to come. At USG Boral, every product we make is with you in mind. Your hard work plus our wall and ceiling products equals a job well done. Learn more at usgboral.com.
The Big Sports Breakfast talks racing every weekday morning. At 6:55, catch Adam Pengilly with all the racing news. And at 7:55, Brad Davidson's tips for the day. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sunday to Friday. Sky Sports Radio. Sports Radio.
To tie it up, he struck it beautifully. What a kick from Bernard Foley. 24 all with 2.5 minutes to play in Durban.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than
than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Tweet from Sparty here. The interview today with Chris Mortimer on at Big Sports WEND is going to take some beating. Honesty, jocular and a real deal country bloke. It should be played to young players as a template. Well done, boys.
He just came across as just a genuine, decent fellow, didn't he?
Didn't he? You know what? You felt like, wouldn't I love to have played footy with this bloke?
Yeah. And like we say it all the time, but we could have gone another hour, half hour at least with Chris Mortimer.
That interview,
scratched the surface.
That interview was that good, I could nearly forgive him for talking about that bloody Steve Gearan try. Nearly. Jack from Old Bar. Jimmy and Ray, great stuff. John from Moorbank talking about Chris Mortimer. Then we get this from Tom. Jimmy, Bulldog would be capable of playing the triangle, wouldn't he? That's where we just wondered where Bulldog would slot into the Beatles. He said he was Ringo out the back. What about Trent Lenscar? Where would you have Trent?
You're going to be lead singer, Trent.
What about George Martin, the producer?
Trent? He might have a singing voice.
Good morning to you, fellas. No singing voice, but I will admit that when I was in high school, I was a drummer.
There we go.
You know what they call drummers? What do they say? You know what they call the guys who hang out with musicians?
Drummers.
Well, you don't want me to sing, fellas. You've got a great audience and you'll lose it very quickly.
Jimmy likes to break out in song occasionally.
I do. I love singing. I'm not very good at it, but I love singing.
I like singing songs. You know, we're a happy team at Hawthorn and others, but it's just no good.
What about
lip-syncing is more
what
my
about
style.
Beneath the Southern Cross I Stand, are we going to hear that from Nathan Lyon?
Well, we hope so, fellas, because we're in a strong position, Australia. 9 for 213 in their second innings. They've got a lead of 402. I'll just mention that at the start of play, South Africa were $2.60. The draw was $5.50, and Australia were $2.
Oh.
It was pretty much the case on before day two as well. Australia were $1.85, and that was obviously before Mitch Marsh had his 96, and then Mitchell Starc took the tail enders to the cleaners. Mm. So as a result now, South Africa, $8, the draw, $21, and Australia are $1.09 to win the first test. So patriotically, we're hoping that's the case. We have got the betting open on South Africa's high bat in the second innings. A.B. de Villiers, $3.75. Oh. Dean Elgar, Hashim Mamla, and Faf du Plessis, $5. Aidan Markram, $7, and Quinton de Kock, $9. So to bet on the first test, you do have to call 133-390, but hopefully, for our sake, fellas, the Aussies are 1-0 up, around about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Let's hope so. A Wanderers play Perth today at Spotless, but a massive game overnight in the EPL 2, Trent. Man City v Chelsea at Etihad.
That is the big one overnight, Ray. We'll mention that first. It's 3 o'clock in the morning if you can stay up for it. Manchester City, $1.55. The draw, $4. And Chelsea, $5.50. Preceding that, you've got Brighton and Hove Albion, $4 chances at home to Arsenal, who the wheels have gone off them at $1.85. The draw, $3.50. And the A-League match today, 5 o'clock at Spotless Stadium. Western Sydney, $1.90. They entertain Perth, who are $3.55. And the draw is $4.
National Rugby League, round one. Starts Thursday, 7:50.
We'll just get the build-up starting tomorrow. Don't worry about that, Jimmy. But we'll go through the matches and the premiership, and I'll look at the Dally M as well, because you have been asking about it just obviously before with Bulldogs. So Thursday night at Jubilee Oval, St George Illawarra, $1.80. Brisbane, $2. The doubleheader from 6 o'clock on Friday night, Newcastle, $1.95. Manly, $1.85 at McDonald Jones Stadium. And then at 1300 Smile Stadium, North Queensland, $1.50. Cronulla, $2.60. To Saturday, 4:30 at ANZ Stadium, West Tigers, $3.50. The Sydney Roosters, $1.30. Then 7 o'clock, the doubleheader at Optus Stadium in Perth. South, $1.50. The Warriors, $2.60. And then Canterbury, $3.50. Melbourne, $1.30. Sunday, 4:10 at Panthers Stadium. Penrith, $1.85. Parramatta, $1.95. And then 6:30 that evening at Cbus Super Stadium. Gold Coast, $2.35. Canberra, $1.60. Anything there, fellas, that seems a little bit out of whack, even though we're a few days away?
Raymond, you saw it. I can't believe. Parramatta. $1.95. Mm. And they were, I think when that market first went up, you might not have it in front of you, Trent, they were $2.20.
Mm. Well, there you go. There's the people who've enjoyed what they've seen from the Eels during the trials.
Yeah.
But I think Jimmy said they should be favourites. That was saying,
that's
Jimmy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Against Penrith.
Well, we'll chat this time next week, fellas, and we'll see what the market is heading into that game. I'll just mention the top few in the premiership just with time. The Sydney Roosters, $5 favourites. Melbourne and North Queensland, $6. Brisbane, Cronulla and Parramatta, $13. Penrith and South 15, and St George Illawarra, the other team in the teens at 17. And on that Dally M medalist, Cameron Smith is the $9 favourite, Jonathan Thurston 11, Jason Taumalolo 13, Cooper Cronk in the tricolours, it's going to be sad to watch at 15, and then Dally Cherry Evans, James Tedesco, and the returning Greg Inglis 17. So obviously, guys, can't wait for Thursday night with St George Illawarra against Brisbane. Plenty else happening. You can check out all those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. Appreciate that. We'll speak again next Sunday. Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au.
What was my menu? I think you found Nathan Cleary, $26.
$26 he was, yeah, $26 for the Dally M. Today's topic, Simona Halep and Lauren Davis, Australian Open tennis, equaling a record for longest women's match in games played at the Oz Open, 4-6, 6-4, 15-13.
And what about my old mate?
That's Ron from Moree.
Yeah. Old mate, can't recall his name, played snooker in Beards, they had to change the rules. The great Walter Lindrum. What was his break, 4,137 or something?
Really?
Yeah, no, it was extraordinary.
That's from Scooter.
They had to change the rules for it.
There you go, 13-53-52. Look, we get a couple of calls in before we say goodbye here. Dave's on the line. G'day, Dave.
Morning, Jimmy and Ray. How are we, boys?
Really well, mate.
I'll just go to Usain Bolt. 2009 world record time of 9.58. No one, you couldn't ride a motorbike to beat that.
Yeah, that was mine, Dave. It's still, I can't get that out of my head. 9.58, a human being can run that fast.
And the easy does it, Ray. He was just a freak of a man, and I think Norm Proven has to be immortal.
I'm with you too, Dave. Good call from Dave.
Have a good talk. Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
Good on you, Dave. And by the way, if they came out and said Norm Proven's an immortal, I'm not going to be upset.
Okay.
There
it is. See, 4,137 break by Walter Lindrum in 1932.
Unbelievable.
So they had to change the rules.
There you go. Adrian's on the line. We might change the rules for callers, depending on how we go with Adrian. Hello, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Just on this Matt Lodge thing, I'm happy for redemption too, but he does not play until he apologises, until he shows remorse, until he pays back his full debt, whether they garnish his wages and set up a trust fund for that nine-year-old, because that nine-year-old is likely to be traumatised for the rest of his life.
A lot of people think what Adrian's saying.
Potentially. And I don't think we have to wait until he pays the whole thing off.
Just start repayment plan.
Exactly. I mean, the guy's got to live.
Mm. Yeah.
But I agree with you, he has to be held responsible for his actions.
Mm. Why hasn't he... It must be a legal thing, which is pretty poor, and that he hasn't... That Wayne Bennett and Todd Greenberg and Paul White are all giving their imprimatur. I think that's disgusting. He should be mean enough to apologise. You read those reports, to apologise and to show some remorse. And I'm thinking maybe half his salary for the next 3 years straight into that family's account for that young boy. Well, he's 9 years old, Jimmy.
From what I understand, Adrian, he's getting paid base salary in 2018, and that's all well and good, but a proportion of that should be going over there, no matter how small it is. Let me assure you, Matt Lodge is an outstanding young player, and if he does everything right and stays on track, then he will be getting paid a lot more than what he's currently being paid, and then you can start making bigger payments over to the US.
Good point.
Thank you, Adrian. Let's go to... we've got Midnight on the line. Hello, Midnight. No, we haven't got him. Now we've got him on the line.
Midnight.
G'day, boys.
You better get to it quickly, Midnight. We're short of time.
All right, mate. What have you been doing? I went to Mardi Gras last
night. Of course you did.
And with your records, I found a good record. Vote for luck.
Vote
of course, it had 90 starts.
Oh, yeah.
Never won a
couldn't
race.
Couldn't win a race, could he?
Wrote it and couldn't win.
He didn't break Aroni's record, 127 starts, Aroni. Hey, what's your team, Midnight?
All right, I'll give you this team. Soon I was at Oxford Street. Let's go with fullback, Kevin Longbottom. Wingers, John Burby and Wally Horn. Centers, Les Kiss and Richard Gay. Halves, Dave Topless and Adam Dyke.
Right.
He locked, Freddie Pickup. In the second row, we've got Cole Lovett and Eddie Root. He prop, Dennis Fitzgerald and Peter Fitzwalter. And the hooker, Sean Hoare.
Jeez.
You've got a coach.
We might be bothered with
it. You got a coach, Window?
Yeah, they're both Parramatta boys.
Who are they?
Well, you want a coach?
Yeah.
What about Arthur Oxford?
Okay.
He goes back.
All right. Thanks, Midnight.
Do you reckon we'll be on?
I can't say it was his best.
Do you think we'll be on air next week?
What? Have you got some availability during the week? Can we come and meet with management here, Ray?
I think
we might have to put some time aside.
Want us in front and centre tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I'm tipping. Yeah.
Hey, the rugby league starts. It's on Thursday. We're looking forward to that, Raymond.
Go Dragons.
Yeah, go your Dragons. So you're really Dragons, aren't you? But you're. What about the Panthers?
It's a 50-50 each way. Dead heat on the line.
Dead heat on the line. Let's hope that all players have injury-free seasons. It's not going to happen, but everyone's team performs to the best of their ability, as we said earlier. I think the Cowboys win it.
So do I.
Yeah, the there we go. Now, Raymond, the other thing we've got to make sure of is producer Steve, first